Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God has given us another day, and I thank Him for another moment of time to do His will, to love people, to be a blessing to others, to help people come forward into the kingdom of God, to grow, that their lives may be strong and thrive in this life. As we represent the Lord for who He is, we become Satan's greatest fear. A thriving church, the people of God living the life of God, is his nightmare. He doesn't know, he can't stop us. And if we ever realize who we are in Jesus, he know we'll never go back. In Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through, I think, 19 or 20, this is our description of Lucifer. He's depicted as the king of Tyrus, or the king of Tyre. And the human king of Tyre is depicted as his prince in verses 1 through 11. Now, within the description, it says, you seal up the sun. He seal up the sun. He knows the sum of things. He knows the answers of life. And he tries to hide it. He had great wisdom as Lucifer. Now, Solomon is also, the life of Solomon is also a pictorial of Lucifer, because he was given a kingdom and Lucifer was given a jurisdiction. Now, core religion always puts Lucifer as the leading angel in heaven, but that's not true. That's far from the truth. There are many classes and societies of angels that are much greater than he is. That's why when we first met him as Satan, he was trying to excel above five realms, the clouds, the stars. He wanted to sit also in the sides of the north. He wasn't, you know, the temple is a replica of what he was talking about. Within the temple in Ezekiel, there were sides of the north. He wasn't qualified to be in the sides of the north. It was designated for those who were qualified to be there, who it was prepared for in the great congregation. And he wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be like God. And he wanted to excel. If he was the leading angel, he wouldn't have tried to excel. And it started from a planet. Now, you have to understand the mystery, the information that God gives us in mystery form. How many times do the Lord speak a few words and you understand volumes? If you ever go in His presence, that will happen for you. If you keep going in His presence and seeking Him, He's gonna make things plain, but He speaks simple things and you understand more than the words that He spoke. Because it's spirit. Within the words that he speaks, there's life. And in that life, there's volume. And that's why the Lord gave me a book to write. And he gave, over the course of a few years, he gave me teachings, he gave me dreams, visions, and insight, and testimonies of other people. And the Lord put it in my heart to write this book. And it's on my old website. And it's called The Cost of Freedom. It's on the Living Letter Ministries website, on the Living Letters page. Oh, excuse me. And when he sanctioned me to write that book, I was anointed to write it. Because the day the Lord told me to write it, I took two steps I was near my toolbox at work. And before I could take two steps, I knew what to put in that book. Even the order of every conversation, every drink, everything fell in place in one moment. And when I started writing, I never had writer's block. Ever. Not when I wrote that book. It was the same way when I wrote The Spirit of Egypt. I just knew what the Lord put it in my heart what to write. And the wording, everything was just fell in place. It was like I copied the thoughts of somebody else. But it was, he used my vision, the visions he gave me and dreams and things like that to put in that book. And I got the job done. I wrote it. Now, it's important to know what God has to say. God loves us. He cares about us in every way there is. We have to take him at his word. If we can receive what he's saying to us, there are things that we can learn that will make the difference in our everyday actions. The revelation of God, you know, people are looking for a great move of God, a stirring. But the foundation of that is what you do every day over time. How you treat people, how you interact with people, the things you do, the things you believe is going to influence how you live and govern your life. So it's very important to make sure that you're believing correctly. And the only way I know to do that is to receive God's word into your heart. You have to get his word firmly in your heart. And then, my friend, you can do this. Now, that doesn't happen in one day, in one year, even in one decade. It happens over time. As we study God's word and solve the problems we have and seek his face, we grow from glory to glory. And if you try to rush it, my hat is off to you. That's a good thing. Draw near. But to have a firm foundation, a good firm foundation, takes time. It starts with building your life on what Jesus said. And it's the fastest way to success. And people are trying all kinds of things to attain success. They sow seeds. They go hear the latest preacher. And all that's good. It helps. You can get an acceleration doing that. But lasting success comes from taking the word of God inside your heart, receiving it. And that's how you build your foundation. And you can take advantage of time. You can take advantage of sowing and reaping. You have to reap what you sow, good or bad. So if you're sowing more good than bad, that's good. It's math. It's easy. If you're gaining more than you're losing, you're going to be rich. If you're spending more than you earn, you're going to be poor and unorganized. That's why people have yard sales, because they buy things they don't need and they have too much and it's not organized, and they lose what they buy in all the chaos. If you having too much things in your house is not good for you. It's not even healthy. Bugs hide where there's too much stuff. And you're supposed, the reason God give us blessings that so our blessings run over, good measure pressed down, running over, that's so that we can have to give. Not so we can clutter our house. Some people clutter their house, then they clutter a storage area. They rent buildings to put stuff in and clutter that up too. But when you think about the ways of God and how he do things, you can truly go forward in him. You can live a good life. And there's nothing that will be impossible to those who love God. It's easy. Life is easy when you take the Lord at His word. As we go forward in the Lord, learning His ways, it helps to alter our course toward perfection. We can alter our course towards perfection. If we do nothing, we'll go the way we're going, which can be good. It has a good end to it, people don't go out and do foolish things if they know better. They do foolish things if they're deceived or if they don't have enough information. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, if you notice, the Lord will guide you, and information can cross your path in a much easier way when you pray in the Holy Spirit. Because what the Lord will, He will guide you to, so that you'll have information you need so that your everyday life can grow stronger. He may cause you to hear from the person you need to hear from so that you can go forward and make better decisions in place of poor decisions. And I have to make adjustments to what I do all the time. And I pray for it. I ask the Lord to guide me and help me do better, because I know He's trying to help me. I know He loves me and He cares about me. So as I go forward in Him, I do better and better. And it gives me a chance to take advantage of the time I already have. The everyday things that I'm already doing are enhanced by God's word. You don't have to go way out of the way to do something good. You just have to take the Lord at His word and go forward doing the things of God, taking Him at His word, being a blessing to everybody you know. You know, I would love to do things that cheer people up, help people see things in a better way. The way we treat people, our kindness means a lot to people. And you know, you're going to be challenged to think the very worst of people, because Satan is out there planting seeds of discord. But especially the people that he's trying to get you to doubt and think the worst of, look at the good things that they do as well. Speak about the good things people do first. Now, you know, the slander is also murder. You're murdering that character. You're judging that, you know, you're saying that they are evil, or that they have no sense, they do things they should. They might be stingy, they might be selfish. They may have a problem in their logic. You know, people do things different because of how they were raised. For instance, if a person had parents that had things and they didn't give their kids very much, that's what they learned to be that way. It's in that, it gets in their heart. The training of our parents get in our heart. The people we're around, our neighborhood, the people, wherever we come from, whatever we see, it automatically gets in our heart. And it becomes a part of the way we do things. And it can viciously aggravate people. But that's not all. You don't just get the negative, you get some good things too. And Satan's trying to tear people down, and he used the negative to sow even more discord. But when we learn the things of God, the life of God, when it becomes important to us, then we grow from glory to glory. And we start changing. People that used to be stingy, if they follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of the word, they have a healthy study habit in the word of God. As they yield themselves to study God's word and do what it says, then they prosper. They learn another side of prosperity. Prosperity is not just tied to saving, it's also giving. And that's a new concept for some. It's a struggle. Now, God is patient with us. He helps us grow at our pace, so he helps other people grow at their pace. And they may have more stumbling blocks than you, but the Lord is still working. And that is what we need to focus on, what God can do to help people grow. Now, because people grow at such a slow pace sometimes, the Lord will give you wisdom in how to deal with people as individuals. As you know their habits and their capability, they're just not going to do some things that you favor. So you're going to have to use alternatives. There are alternatives when people act like they shouldn't. But don't give up on the person. Just seek the Lord for how you can go forward anyway. In life, the Word of God can always make the difference. When we're trying to do the things that we should do, things that's important, the Word of God can make the difference. It makes the difference. New concepts. We have to go from an old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. And we always have to make adjustments. Now, over time, people are going to die. People have new challenges that they never had before. That's common with every generation. There's competition going on in the industry market. And competition is good. When somebody has an idea and that idea works, you know, then somebody's going to perfect it. And then they, like Henry Ford, made the Model T, and he found a better way to make a car. He tried different models before he came up with the one that was the most durable. And he called that the Model T. So then he turned around and had an idea of mass producing it, which was great. And then other people got in on it. They wanted in on this cash cow he was making money from. And the more people you got involved, you had competition. Then you had change. People tried, they came up with better brake systems, and that became the standard. Then they came up with heaters, and that became the standard. Then radio was an option. That became the standard. Change is always forming and coming, and things are getting better and easier. And now, that's how it works. And my grandmother said something that my mother told me. She said, change is going to happen. And if you don't change with the times, you're going to be left behind. You can't always do what used to work. You're going to have to make the adjustments necessary for today. You're going to have to make all the necessary adjustments for your life currently. Faith is current. It looks to God now. And when you look to the Lord, you can gain the wisdom you need to do greater things. And if you can make adjustments easy, you can grow. And people become clever and more witty, and it's good. That's the goodness of God. We're made in His image. There's really nothing we can't do if we really want to do it. Whatever change you want to make in life, it can be made. And our old habits and the things of old that we learned, things that have hindered us, we can grow beyond it. That's why the Word said, walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time. If you think of that, that's two root words in one word. Circum means circle. Speckly means spectator. It's just like looking at a football game. People are surrounded by the game. But it's saying walk circumspectly. But take a look and an observation of yourself from the outside looking in. What do other people see when they see you, your routine, how you govern your life, how you do things? What are they seeing? Do they see a person that's punctual, a person that's diligent, a person that's caring, loving, supportive, a blessing, wise, intelligent, offensive, somebody that's fun to be around? You want all the positives you can have. But what are the limitations? What are the negatives? What kind of advice do you give? All of these things sum you up. And the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, one preacher said that when you study the Word of God, you're learning and you're studying. And then the knowledge of God is being revealed to you. But the Word of God is all, it also studies you and reveals you to you. You start seeing yourself in that mirror of God's Word. And you start seeing you for who you are. Now, whenever you take time and govern your life according to God's Word, and you live the life of God, and you're seeking His face, you're learning, you're growing. And you're able to make wise adjustments. And when that happens for you, you can do more than you could before. You can grow in the direction you want to. You can grow emotionally so that things don't bother you all the time. You don't have to be bothered by every little wind, every little aggravation. You don't have to give in and start fussing and cussing and throwing rocks. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get offended every time somebody says something. You don't have to fall for every trap Satan sets before you. A better option is to hear what God is saying. And go forward in life, doing the works of God. And when you take time out to get to know the Lord and see what He's saying, these things develop. Now, if you go in His presence, the same thing can happen spiritually. Knowledge can be revealed to you in the Lord's presence. You feel like you can do anything. And whatever is in your heart, it can be revealed. Sometimes, there were times I went in the Lord's presence and I saw me for me. Just like when I studied the Word. If you study enough, you see what the Lord is saying. For this reason, it's always worth it to receive God's Word. It gives you a greater perspective. And you see things in a new way. It all works together to help us do better. And the more light we have, the more we have to talk about, the more enthused we are, the more amazed we are at God and how He do things. It's just, the Word of God is life all by itself. It's one of the most enjoyable things I do is study His Word. And it makes everything more enjoyable. Whatever you're doing, life is more enjoyable when you receive God's Word and take Him at His Word. Now, I had to pause for a moment and found out that Billy Graham just died today. And my wife told me it was all over the news. And I remember Benny Hinn saying that something would happen pivotal when he dies. Other prophets have said it too. So these are the end times, and I thank God for every day and every moment we have, but it's so close. The Lord has to come back. And, you know, the Lord does things. When Methuselah died, the flood happened. And Benny Hinn said that when Billy Graham died, something pivotal would happen. So, our time to restore the lost and grow the kingdom of God is coming to a close. But never underestimate what God can do at the last moment. He can do a work that millions of people will decide to get saved. You know, God is like that. He's good. When Samson died, he killed more enemies in his death than in his life. So it's important to know, to look to God, because God knows what he's doing. As we grow from glory to glory, walking circumspectly, we do what's appropriate with the time. See, when my grandmother said, if you don't change with the times, you'll be left behind. Sometimes the things of old is just not appropriate anymore. It was good for then when it was new knowledge then. But when better things come along, it's time to change. You know, the Model T had mechanical brakes. And then GM came out with hydraulic brakes. And people had to transition, but the hydraulic brakes were better and safer and more reliable. And it took time for people to realize that they were. And once they did, they demanded it. And the mechanical brakes did their job. It was better than nothing. And you're trying to stop something that's heavy. And then there's a better way to do it. Then power brakes came out. Vacuum assist power brakes came out. All these changes, when something new happens, when there's a better way to do something, it's just more appropriate. And that means it's wiser. And that's how we govern our lives. If there's a better system that's more efficient, that can save you trouble, and you can get more accomplished in your day, and you have more time to do something that you need to be doing or desire to be doing, all that's positive. And God is good. And as we grow in him, it happens spiritually, just like it can happen naturally. With the Holy Spirit, we can do things that normally we could not do. With the Lord's return being so close and soon, it behooves us to go forward in him, to seek him, to know him. Because God will return on time. And remember, the Lord is looking for sincerity. People that look to him by their faith. The just shall live by their faith. People that are looking to him, endeavoring to do the things of God. When people get into idolatry, that's not an accident. They do that on purpose and deliberately. They love their will above God's. But when people are looking to the Lord, as we look to him, we learn better, and we always do. And you learn to continue to look to him. You value him. You value his word. You know that it works. But people who give a cold shoulder to the things of God, they're not learning. They're not growing. And their life is just what they can make out of it. And sometimes they happen to do something that works. But they have no foundation. They can lose everything in a moment. And if they die, they won't go to heaven because they didn't get saved and wouldn't get saved. Pride goes before a fall. Is not an accident. That's something you do deliberately. But when people fall, they're surprised. But the Lord saw it coming the day they decided to operate by their pride. Remember, pride hates God. Pride looks within. Pride gets angry at God. Pride disqualifies God. But those who are humble, they honor God. Those who love God and fear God, they honor God. Even the people that fear God, they honor God too. The thief on the cross, he asked for mercy. He honored God. He honored God. He justified what Jesus was doing. He called him Lord. When you go to your kingdom, have mercy on me. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. It's time for people to receive what the Lord is saying, because God has so many things to say to us. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.